I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is very good, really very good to be back in the house of the Lord. Very good to be back in Sydney. The Lord was very gracious to me and my wife in Singapore. As usual, we had a very hectic program trying to catch up with people who have been praying for us, and also trying to have our family reunions with our loved ones. And so we tried our very, very best to keep up with the schedule that we had over there. And it was difficult, but the Lord was very kind and gracious, and He gave us the strength, and we thank God that we are back safely in Sydney. Now today is Mother's Day. On behalf of the session of this church, and in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I would like to wish all mothers a very happy Mother's Day. May the Lord bless you in a very, very special way. May the Lord strengthen you, and may you continue to be the good mothers you have been. And also, we pray that the Lord will continue to strengthen you so that you may continue to be the good example to your children. Now, the subject this morning is the greatest earthly influencer. Mother, I dare say that mother is perhaps the greatest influencer of her children, if not the greatest, at least one of the greatest. Now, this was what Thomas Edison had to say about his mother. Now, we know about Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison was a great American inventor. He patented something like 1,000 inventions. Now, we know this name Edison through the light bulb. You know, the incandescent light bulb. Now, he didn't invent the light bulb, but he managed to extend the light bulb, the life of the light bulb, so that the light bulb can be of practical use. Now, whether he was a believer or not, we do not know, but this was what he said of mother. Yes, he was greatly influenced by his mother, and this was what he said. I quote him. He said, "I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence that has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly." In other words, her mother was of great caliber. That's why he became what he was. "But her firmness, her goodness, were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me." That was the testimony of Thomas Edison in regards to his mother. Now then, when our senior pastor shares his testimony in regards to his spiritual upbringing, whom does he talk more about, his father or his mother? I dare say that he talks more about his mother than his father. It seems he gives more credit to his mother in regards to his spiritual upbringing than he gives to his father. Mother was a very, very great influence over his life, and although he didn't have mother for long, his mother passed away when he was a very young man. Then listen to what some other great men had to say about mother. Abraham Lincoln, one of the great presidents of America, he said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." D.L. Moody, one of the greatest American preachers, he said this, "All that I have ever accomplished in life, I owe to my mother." And then the great French conqueror, Napoleon Bonaparte, this was what he said, "Let France have good mothers, and she will have good sons." So you see, mothers, you are indeed the greatest influencer of your children. Did you realize that? You are the greatest influencer of your children. The question is, what are you doing with the influence that you have over them? You can influence your child for good, you can influence your child for bad. Yes. God has given you a very, very special talent, and this talent is called mothering. Yes. And how do you mother your children? My dear mothers here, what is your foremost priority when you mother your children? Now, to provide for your children is, of course, vitally important. To give them a good education is, of course, very, very important. To make sure that they are healthy is important. To make sure that they socialize well and they are in good company are all very, very important. But I dare say that the most important thing is what the Word of God says in regards to your priority in bringing up your children. Proverbs 22 verse 6, which says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way he should go, in the way that the Lord wants him to go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is your top priority in bringing up your children. Train up the child in the way that he should go. Now, Spurgeon's mother got it right. This is what Spurgeon said of mother. I read to you. Spurgeon said this, "I cannot tell how much I owe to the solemn words of and prayers of my good mother. It was a custom on Sunday evenings while we were children for her to stay at home with us. She sat around the table and read verse by verse while she explained the scripture to us. After that was done, then came the time of pleading with God." In other words, after reading Holy Scriptures verse by verse to the children, she would then pray for the children. Yes, and some of the words of mother's prayers we shall never forget, even when our heads are gray. When they grow old, he said, we didn't forget about mother's prayer. And he said this, "I remember her once praying in this manner." Well, this prayer is serious, you listen. "Now, Lord, if my children go on in sin, it will not be from ignorance that they perish, and my soul must bear a swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold of Jesus Christ." Now, that's serious. Now, what Spurgeon was saying is this. Her mother prayed this prayer before the one true living God. He said, mother was saying to the Lord, "Lord, if my children were to perish, it is not because they lack any kind of teaching, because I give them the teaching. I give them the teaching from the Word of God. So if they perish, they deserve to perish. And on the day when we stand before the judgment of the one true living God, I will be standing up as a witness against them." Those were the solemn words of mother. Did she pray a right prayer? Of course. That was the right prayer. Yes, my dear mothers here, I hope that you have this kind of great concern for your children, that you are really very, very mindful of their salvation. Now, I see here parents wanting their children to excel as all-rounders. Yes, many parents do that. In the U.S., and here to some extent, there are these creatures known as soccer moms. Right? You know what soccer moms are? These are mothers who are very, very interested that their children be good soccer players. All right, girls and boys. So mother would drive the children to the soccer field for training and also to play their soccer games on weekdays and on weekends. And so they are known as soccer moms. But I dare say that many Asian mothers here are more than soccer moms. There are a variety of moms, I would say. They are soccer, swimming, karate, piano, mathematics mom. Yes. They send their children for tuition during weekends. They send their children for swimming lessons, music lessons, ballet lessons, karate lessons. But friends, I dare say that many parents fail, or many mothers fail, to do the most important thing, and that is to train the child in the way that he should go, so that when he grows up, he will not depart from the faith, he will not depart from the Lord. Now, Kids Club here really has a hard time. Yes, our Kids Club has to compete with all these various activities that mothers get their children to be involved in. Yes, and so we have to try very hard to make our kids' club as attractive as possible within the limits of the teaching of Holy Scriptures. And it's hard because we have to compete with all these activities that these children are engaged in under the influence of their under the influence of this soccer, swimming, karate, piano, mathematics moms. Now, my dear mothers here, what are you doing for your children? What kind of spiritual training are you giving to your children? When your children are still young, do you read Bible lessons from the Bible more than you tell them fairy tales? Well, which one do you do more? Read the Bible more to them or tell them fairy tales? Do you pray with them? Do you pray for them? Do you teach your children how to pray? Do you teach your children how to trust in the Lord? Do you teach your children that the way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you teach them to repent from their sins? Do you teach them to live in a manner that pleases the Lord? And do you teach them to give them top priority to God always? Now, let us say there are two competing activities on a Saturday. We have our kids' club meeting here, and then your children are invited to a birthday party. Yes. Now, do you tell your children, all right, child, you decide where you want to go. What's the answer? The answer is obvious. Where would the child want to go? Of course, the child will opt to go to the birthday party. Now, I trust you would be able to say this to your children when there is a contest between these two things, a kids' club meeting and a birthday party. I trust you will be able to tell your children, yes, child, listen to me. Let's go to the kids' club. Let's go to the kids' club and be blessed by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go, yes, and be blessed by Him, be blessed by God. Would you do that for your children, dear mothers here? Then, of course, the best way to teach your children is to teach them by example. Yes, you cannot teach them how to have the right priority when you yourself do not have the right priority. Let's say on a Friday night, you know that we have our prayer meeting, and then you desire to go shopping on a Friday night. Now, which activity would you participate in? The church prayer meeting or shopping? My dear friends, if you opt to go to shop on a Friday evening, you cannot expect your children to have the right kind of priority because you have set them the wrong example. So, my dear friends, let's get our priority right first of all. All mothers, get our priority right first, and then we are then in a better position to teach the right kind of priority to our children. Now, in the Word of God, we have this young pastor called Timothy, the spiritual son of the Apostle Paul. Yes, he was not Paul's biological son, but his spiritual son. Now, who molded the life of this young pastor? Was it his father? Was it his grandmother? Was it his mother? I'd like us to listen to what the Apostle Paul said when he wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. When I call to remembrance, Paul said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned love, in other words, unfeigned faith, when I recall the true faith, genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Louise and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So, who was the influence over this young man, Timothy? It was not his father. It was two maternal figures, his grandmother Louise and his mother Eunice. Now, when your children grow up, can they look back and thank God they had this mother or they had this mother in you? Yes, can they say, I thank God that mother was such a great influence in training me in the way of the Lord. I am what I am because of her. Now, of course, while I'm talking about mothers, fathers, you also have a great responsibility. You are the spiritual head in the home. You are the pastor in the home. Don't forget that. But because today we are talking about mothers, it does not mean that you are excused. No, you are not. All right, you have your role to play. On another day, on another occasion, we'll talk about fathers. But today we'll talk about mothers. Now, how is it that mother can be such a great influencer? As we said, she can be because God has given her this very special talent, the talent to mother. God has planted in her this thing called the love of mother. Yes, something very unique. The love of mother. And it is this very, very great capacity to love that is able to encourage the kind of responses that children, that her children have to the kind of love that she shows, so that so that mother can be a great influencer over her children. Now, as I think of mother's God-given capacity to love, I think of this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the passage which we just read, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7, which says, "Charity suffereth long, and is kind." Charity means love. Love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity suffereth long. Yes. Now, the word charity is actually an old English word for love. Yes, it is the highest form of love. In the Word of God, there are only two kinds of love. One is brotherly love, and the other one is sacrificial love. And this charity here refers to sacrificial love. And this is the kind of love mother has for her children, sacrificial love. She has charity. A mother's love is indeed very sacrificial. Yes, it is shown by her long-suffering. Now, in modern English, of course, we don't use the word long-suffering, we use the word patient. So we simply say, mother is very patient. But in the Word of God, the Word of God makes a distinction between these two words, long-suffering and patient. I explained this before, but I explain it again. Now, the word patient is made use of in regards to relationship with things. The word patient is used. Now, in regards to our relationship with other human beings, the word long-suffering is made use of. So if you are waiting for a bus, and if the bus is late in coming, then what you do is you exercise patience to wait for the bus. Then when you get onto the bus, you happen to sit next to a guy who talks very loudly over the mobile, and every of his sentences is filled with obscenities, then you have to exercise long-suffering. All right, so that's the difference between patience and long-suffering. A loving mother is truly very, very long-suffering towards her children. True or false? Very true. Yes, you young people, I know I was a young person once before, yes, you throw your socks all over the places. You put your shoes all over your places. You don't care to arrange your shoes properly. And then after you shower, what do? You don't hang up your towel. You just throw your towel on the bed. Now, who picks after you? Mother, isn't it true? You drink your drink. You leave your cup where you last left it. And then who brings it back to the kitchen and washes it for you? It's mother. You don't do it. So you do it time and over again. Mother tells you the same thing. Don't throw your socks all over the places. Arrange your shoes properly. Return the cup to the right place. But you continue to do all those things that you are not supposed to do. Is the mother very long-suffering? I see David laughing, right? So you see, mother is very, very long-suffering. Indeed, very, very. And then mother tells you, don't come home late. And you come home late. Yes. And then when you come home late, who is still awake, waiting for you to come back to make sure that you have come back safely? It is mother. So despite your disobedience, your rebellion, your protest, she still loves you. So you see how long-suffering mother is. 2 years ago, or 1.5 years ago, we saw in the news about this gang rape that took place in New Delhi, India. The victim was violently raped and then abused, and then she died of her injuries a few days later. Now, it was a gang rape. Now, four of the rapists, all of them were very young people. Four of the rapists were found guilty of rape and of murder, and they were sentenced to death. The mother of one of the rapists, who was 20 years old, came out to plead for mercy publicly for her son, in spite of the horrific crime that she committed. You know what she said? "Please spare my son," she said. "He's a good boy. He's a good boy." Can you imagine that? She said, "He's a good boy." And she said, "These four young people were good workers, hard workers. Nobody complained against them while they were working in the company that they were working. The judge should give them a second chance to reform themselves. Even God gives every person a second chance. Now, if mother were the judge, how many chances would she give to her son?" I don't know how many chances, but I can say this, her chances would be long-suffering chances. That would be the kind of chances that she would show to her son. Yes, even though her son was that crooked. That's how long-suffering mother's love is. Now, all of us who are children, let us all be very, very appreciative of this wonderful gift God has given to us. This gift called mother. Now, who can match her for her long-suffering? I dare say that there are very, very few people who can match her for her long-suffering. But there is one who can surely outmatch her for her long-suffering. And that is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, what has the Lord Jesus Christ done for the world? Yes, He is the creator of the whole wide universe. He's our creator. He's our God. He owns us, and He has every right to sit on the throne of our heart. But what do we do to Him? We displace Him, and instead of having Him sitting on our throne, who sits on the throne? It's the big I, myself. I sit on the throne, not the one true living God. And then we even have the audacity to say that God doesn't exist, and that we all come into being through this process known as evolution. And then some would even be proud enough, bold enough, have the audacity to say this: "If there is a God, let Him strike me dead now." The utter rebellion against God is manifested by self-centeredness, selfishness, envy, jealousy, killings, murders, wars, adulteries, thefts, and so on. And many would say, "Why can't I do what I want to do? I'm not responsible to anyone. I'm not responsible to God because there is no God." Yes, and after life on this earth, there is not going to be a judgment. So I can do what I want to do. Now, God can easily strike us dead if He wants to do so. But God is absolutely long-suffering. The Word of God tells us so. He's absolutely long-suffering. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. But the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. But is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's how long-suffering He is. He desires that we repent and come to Him and be saved. When the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross, His mockers mocked at Him. They nailed Him to the cross. They mocked at Him. They said, "If you are the Son of God, save yourself. Come down from the cross. Save yourself." Now, could not the Lord Jesus Christ have called 12 legions of angels to strike them dead? Of course He could. But He did not do that. You know what He said? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So you see how long-suffering our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. If you have not repented yet, if you have never tasted of the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have never experienced how long-suffering our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ yet, my dear friends, why don't you come today and believe in Him? Don't wait any longer. Let's not tax His long-suffering, but come and trust in Him as Lord and Savior today. Let's do it, my dear friends, on this wonderful day called Mother's Day. Now then, love is kind. Love is kind. Mother's love is kind. Now in the Word of God, we have an example of what kindness is. All right? Now this is with regards to this man who is known as the Good Samaritan. Now, there was this Jew who traveled from the city of Jerusalem down to the city of Jericho. On the way, he was waylaid, he was robbed, beaten, and left half dead on the ground. Then came a very religious Jew, a priest. Now, we would expect the priest to be very, very kind. The priest would do something for this poor man. But no, he ignored him. Yes, he ignored him, he avoided him, he walked on the other side of the street. Then after him came another religious man, a Levite. Now he did almost the same thing, maybe a little better, but really not much better. He also ignored this man. He didn't do anything for him. Now then thirdly came this Samaritan. Now, as I said many times before, the Samaritans and the Jews had no dealings with one another. They were enemies against one another. But this Samaritan dismounted his donkey and then came, picked this man up. He dressed his wounds, poured medication into his wounds, and then put him on the back of his donkey and brought him to the inn, and then and paid for his motel bills. And the next day, before he left, he told the innkeeper, if there is any extra expenses incurred by this man, please charge the expenses to me. So you see how kind this good Samaritan was. Now, would mother, I ask you, now would mother be like this priest or like this Levite when you are hurt? Right? If you are hurt, would mother be like this priest or this Levite in treating you? Would she? Of course not. Surely she would be like the Samaritan, but I dare say that she would do much better than the good Samaritan. She would not only dress your wounds, but she would dress your wounds with tender, loving care. Would you not do that, mothers? Sure you would. You would dress the wounds of your children with tender, loving care. Of course, in the process of doing so, you might scold your children, but still, you do the dressing with tender, loving care. You would give everything. Yes, mother would give everything to heal the wounds that you have, and she would try very hard to take the hurt away. I remember when I was a kid, while playing games, I fell into a drain. Headlong, almost headlong, and I hit my head against the side of the drain, and there was a big bump here. Today I can still feel the bump here, by the way. It's still there. Yes, my grandmother could not bear to see her grandson having this big bump on his forehead, and so he drew me to herself, and then what she did was, very lovingly, she spat into her hand and then applied the saliva on my wound and then used the tip of her, you know, her China woman gown and placed it over my wound, and she rubbed very hard to try to disperse the lump. Yes, she tried to do that. Yes, my grandmother, by the way, was a small woman, but she was very, very fierce looking. But it was only a facade. But when it came to dealing with her grandchildren, she always dealt with us with tender, loving care. That was the kind of kindness that she had. She had this inherent maternal love in her. Now, my question would be, if it was my mother, would my mother have done better? Maybe my mother would have done better than my grandmother. Yes, nevertheless, grandmother showed me that maternal love, the love that was in mother. Mother's kindness is matchless. True. Yes, but her kindness, no matter how great it is still far, far, far exceeded by the kindness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord knows our every hurt, and He can take every emotional and spiritual hurt away, which mother, no matter how hard she tries, no matter how kind she is not able to do so many a time. Yes, the Word of God says this of this wonderful Savior of ours, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God in Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, if we are hurting, does He not know? Of course He knows, my dear friends. He was in all points tempted like as we are. There is this infinitely sympathetic mom in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you are hurting, does he not know? Of course he knows. If you are hurting today, my dear friends, if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, go to him in prayer. If you have never experienced his comfort before because you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you today come and believe in him? So that when you are hurting, you will be able to experience his comfort. So why, my dear friends, would you want to hold back? Why would you not want to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior? Then there are spiritual sores that are hurting us. What are our spiritual sores? Spiritual sores are our sins. They are hurting us because they cause us to be separated from the one true living God. And if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, this spiritual source actually breaks our fellowship with the one true living God. If our sins are not washed away, and we have never ever been forgiven by the one true living God, our sins have never been washed away before, my dear friends, we are spiritually dead, separated from the one true living God. And our eternal destination is hell. Yes, if our sins have not been washed away, never washed away before by the one true living God. Now let me read you the condition of the Jews during the time of this prophet Isaiah. This was what he said of the Jews. He said in Isaiah 1:6, "From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." These sins, yes, these sins represented by the sores of nauseating, noxious, stinking to the one true living God. Yes, if we have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are actually in this condition. We are filled with sores from head to toe. That's what it means, friends, separated from him. And these sores are very, very stinking to him. Our sins are very stinking to him. We are spiritually dead. Friends, there's good news. Yes, our sores, our spiritual sores may be healed. Yes, our sins may be washed away by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his kindness, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, shed his precious blood for us. Yes, and he wants to cleanse us of our sins, and make us pure. In fact, he makes this wonderful invitation, a very, very kind invitation to us. He doesn't need to do it, but he does it. He invites us to him. He says, "Come now, and let us reason together. Therefore, Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." That's what he does. He invites us to come to him. And today, if we would come to him, my dear friends, he will show us this infinitely great kindness to cleanse us of our sins by his precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Now next, love seeketh not her own. In other words, love is not selfish. Love is not self-centered. And that's the kind of love mother had. Not self-centered, not selfish. Of course, we have read and heard of how some mothers are very, very self-centered, very, very selfish. The husband dies and he leaves behind a huge fortune. And because the will is not properly written, she wants to keep all the inheritance to herself and she doesn't want to share the inheritance with her children. And the result, of course, is endless rounds of contest in the court of law. But such mothers are rare. As I dare say, most mothers are selfless. Yes, they are not self-centered. They are very, very sacrificial. There was this young man, a brilliant young man, who came from a well-known family. He was studying in one of the great universities. He was very, very well physically endowed, well-developed, brawny, very, very athletic. On the field, he was a great player. Yes, in the contact sports that he was engaging himself in. But he was a great sportsman. He always played fair. And off the field, he was also really a gentleman. He was a model of courtesy and refinement, especially in his relationship with women, with girls. He was always very, very gentlemanly. And when the word mother was used, he was always very, very, he would treat the word mother as something that is very, very sacred. So when the word mother is used, he sometimes would fall into silence, and there were times when he shed tears when the word mother was used. Now, why would he be so rough and tough and brave in the sports field and so gentle at other times, particularly in his relationship with his female company? He said this, "I never like to refer to this. I never met my mother because his mother died when he was born. At my birth, my mother was in a serious condition, my father told me. She overheard the attending doctor say, 'I can't say two lines. It's either the mother or the child.' My father stood speechless. My mother overheard what the doctor said. Through her weakness and pain, she said, 'Let my child live. I will die.' Thus, mother gave her life for me. I dare say many a mother is like the mother of this young man, willing to give her life for her children. Mother is sacrificial. Yet more sacrificial than mother is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He died for us on the cross of Calvary. He gave his all for us. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, he was made the sin offering for us. Our sins were put into his account, and his righteousness was put into our account. That's what it means, my dear friends. You see how sacrificial it is. And the word of God tells us in Isaiah 53 verse 5, "For he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." Friends, let us see the mother in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not trusted in him yet, come today and trust in him. See the mother in him. See the kindness in him. See the goodness in him. See the long suffering in him. Yes. And then we have, of course, more to say about the love of mother, but it's already 11:10. I don't think we have much time left to talk about the love of mother. But more importantly, let's ask ourselves this question. How should I treat mother? Seeing that mother is so sacrificial, mother is so kind, mother is so selfless, and mother is so kind in dealing with us, and mother is so long-suffering. How should I treat mother? Now the word of God has this command for every one of us. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor father, mother. When she's dead? No, my dear friends. Honor mother when she is still alive. Treat her well. Be grateful to her. Make life easier for her by not making her work so hard. Remember, young people, don't make a mother work so hard. Make life easier for her. And don't make her worry. And when she's old, make sure that you do your part to care for her, to provide for her. Don't leave it to the state and say, let the state do everything possible for her. And you appreciate. No, my dear friends, it is your responsibility to look after the poor when they are old. Yes, the word of God says in 1 Timothy 5:8, that if any provide not on his own, and especially for those of his own household, particularly his mother, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, it is our responsibility to take good care of our folks when they are old, to take good care of mother when she's old. Now the Chinese in Singapore remember and honor their parents when they are dead. But what's the point? And so what they do is they organize a very, very elaborate funeral for the mother who passed away or the father who passed away. But what's the point? Remember mother when she is alive. Don't wait till she has passed away, then you regret very much and you say, "Oh, I wish I can turn the clock backwards and so that I will be able to provide for her or give her the things which I could have given to her but I didn't." Don't wait until that time. But now, while she is still alive, take good care of her. So this lady who had 10 children, and she worked very, very hard to bring up the 10 children. Yes, of course, the time for the older ones grew up. was very, very hard. And, but because of some irreconcilable domestic problems that she had no choice but to leave, eventually leave away from the older ones, older, leave away from her older children. So she brought along with her the younger children to live in a small hut in a small village in Singapore. In that small village, many, many years ago, there was no running water, there was no electricity. Yes, and she lived in a very lonely manner in a hut. She had no complex voice that she would want to have. She had a very, very simple enjoyment, and that was that she loved to listen to Teochew opera. Yes, and but how was she to listen to Teochew opera? Yeah, she couldn't have a radio, and in those days it was very, very expensive to buy a battery-operated radio. Then one of her sons grew up and started earning. He said, "Mother, I'll do something for you." And he bought a radio for mother. And how did he operate that radio? He bought a car battery. And with that car battery, he operated that radio for mother to listen to her Teochew opera. And of course, when the power ran out, he would replace it with another battery. Now, then, when there were Teochew operas in town, he would then drive mother to watch those Teochew operas. And she would buy tickets to watch those Teochew operas. Now, who was that woman? She was my mother. My mother. Then you would surely think, that man who looked after that young man who looked after that lady must be me. No, it wasn't I. I was just a small kid at that time. It was my third brother. My third brother was very, very filial to mother. Then I asked myself, as I was preparing this message, I asked myself, would I do what my brother has done if I were in my brother's shoes? Would I have done what my brother did? I could not positively say, yes, I would do what my brother did. Yes, but I know for sure, if I didn't do what my brother did in those days, today I will be regretting like crazy. I wish I could turn the clock backwards to the time when mother was alive so that I could show her the love that mother deserved. I wish I would be able to do that. Now, for my daughter, if mom is today, give her the joy that she loves very much to have within the limits of course. Now, if Ivan is not a believer yet, give her the best. And what is the best gift that you can give to mother? The best gift that you can give to your mother is to lead the mother through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the best gift that you can give to her. And then give yourself and give to her the hope of your being able to have this reunion someday in heaven. Yes, give yourself that hope. Give her that hope also. But that will be the best thing that you can do for her and for yourself. On this Mother's Day, my dear friends, would you not make this special effort to show her the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to anybody else, but to you on this Mother's Day? Why don't you do that? Show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to her, to you. And today, if you are not a believer yet, I dare say that you will not be able to be the son or the daughter to your mother, the kind of daughter or the kind of son the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be. Now, if you want to be the kind of daughter and the son to your mother that the Lord wants you to be, the right thing for you to do is to come to Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you have trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, you surrender your life to Him. If you fear the Lord, my dear friends, you will surely treat another well. So if you have not trusted in Him yet, why do you come and believe in Him today? Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great gift known as Mother. Lord, we thank you for the influence of Mother, and we know that we are what we are today because of her influence. And Father, we pray that we may know how to treat Mother well while she is still alive. And if she has not come to trust in you as Lord and Savior, enable us to realize that the best gift that we can give to Mother is to show her the way of the Lord, to show her the way of salvation. And Father, we pray also today for those in our midst who are not believers yet, and who will definitely not be able to be the sons and daughters that you want them to be to their mother. We pray that they will come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. For we know that if they trust in you, if they fear you, if they love you, they will surely be the exemplary sons and daughters that you want them to be. So Lord, we pray that today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, our hearts may be very, very thankful to you. And once again, we pray for all mothers that you will strengthen them in the most holy faith, enable them to set good examples for the children, enable them to have the right priority in bringing up their children, and that is to train up the children in the way of the Lord, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. Lord, be with us in a very special way, we pray thee as we fellowship with one another afterwards. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.